ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
For decades, a mystery has haunted Tamworth.
Mark Anthony Haynes' body was discovered on an isolated stretch of train tracks.
No one talked about him because he was just another little black fella.
An ABC True Crime podcast was followed by a fresh inquest.
Drum is just holding their breath.
If he didn't do it directly, he knows what happened.
With the truth closer than ever, hear the whole story now. Search for Unravel Blood on the Tracks. It's on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's an interesting intersection happening where faith meets artificial intelligence. From an ex-Intel CEO building a Christian AI to help, and I quote, hasten the return of Christ, to chatbots that let people literally, allegedly text with a virtual god, to an AI priest that got itself digitally defrocked. Technology and theology are getting tangled in really fascinating ways. Can machines hold faith? And what happens when algorithms start answering our biggest spiritual questions? This is your guide to technology and culture. My name is Ray Johnston, and welcome to Download This Show on ABC Radio National. Our guest this week to explore this version of Digital God, we have Rowan Sammond, who is the producer of Soul Search and editor of the Modern Relics newsletter. Welcome, Rowan.
Hi.
And we have Dr. Declan Humphreys, cybersecurity and ethics lecturer at the University of the Sunshine Coast. Hello, Declan.
Hello, Ray. Great to be here.
Now, kicking off with Glue. Glue is a Christian-focused technology company that's creating AI tools for pastors and faith communities. The founder wants to build an AI that will, and I quote, hasten the coming of Christ's return.
Mm.
Rowan, who is behind Glue and what exactly is he trying to achieve with this so-called Christian AI?
So the guy behind it all is Patrick Gelsinger, I think, is how you pronounce his name. He's a former CEO of Intel, so actually
a tech guy. Like,
yeah, and very well respected in his field. But it is kind of a strange claim to make that an AI model could hasten the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm not entirely sure what he's basing that on.
So, Declan, do you have any idea what he's basing that on? Has he done anything previously that would indicate he is capable of this?
Look, I think his history goes into kind of religion, and that's how he spends a lot of his time, you know, helping out churches. And he now is merging his kind of tech background with that faith-based teaching. So really what the Glue is, what they say it is this technology platform for faith ecosystem. I think that's how they define it. So it's trying to bring tech to churches and particularly to put AI at the forefront of kind of Christian movement. So he's trying to put in Christian values into AI systems.
Okay. So Declan, what kinds of tools or services is Glue actually building? You know, what are they selling and who are they selling it to?
Initially, it looks like they're selling kind of technology platforms to churches. So things that can help congregations with chatbots to help to tell people when services are, or things that can help organize congregations. So kind of quite low-level stuff. They also run these hackathons where people try to build technology in a short period of time, but really with a Christian bent, with a really Christian lean. So that's the kind of fundamental thing. But now it looks like they're going into this AI alignment. So trying to start this global movement for aligning AI with Christian values. What that looks like, as Rowan said, isn't quite clear at the moment.
Mm. Are these the kind of services that groups of faith have been asking for, Rowan?
Yeah, look, church management software is a market niche, which is like fairly well serviced, actually. There's a number of companies working in this space, and it is necessary. Like a lot of business software is not actually well suited for the kinds of things that churches do.
How so?
Well, you know, you might think that you can just use PowerPoint, for example, during a church service. But just the way that songs work, particularly in Protestant evangelical churches where you might sing verses out of order, or right, you might do the chorus a number of times, you actually need a program that has the ability to jump around the slides out of order, for example. And, you know, talking about people who attend your church as like maybe clients is a bit crass. And people have different needs from, you know, an organization like a church congregation. So some of these software platforms actually, they'll set in reminders to check in with vulnerable people, or you can create profiles for regular attenders, that kind of thing. And business management software just isn't suited for that.
So these are communities that are used to having, you know, faith-specific software to be able to, you know, suit their needs. Are they used to AI? Is this something that's new for these groups?
AI is new, and particularly for Christians, there's a Christian survey group called Barna, who is actually affiliated with Glue, I just should say. But they ran a survey back in 2023 that found that Christians are actually more uncomfortable with AI than the general population. And I could speculate, you know, for a couple of different reasons. But it looks like for Christians, AI is actually a bigger leap than for the general population.
So it seems to me that starting an AI company that is stating its goal as hastening the coming of Christ's return.
It's a bold claim.
To groups of people who are already feeling potentially a little bit uncomfortable about AI. Is that a smart business plan, Declan?
Is it a smart business plan? I mean, I think their claim really is that this technology is happening. You know, everybody is using AI already. I mean, logging into ChatGPT or whatever it is. So really, Christians, if they don't get on this kind of bandwagon, they're going to be left behind.
The FOMO.
And FOMO, exactly, yeah. And also, they've come up with this kind of marketing ploy, I want to say, where they have this flourishing AI benchmark, which kind of, they say, means that other AI companies and their chatbots aren't actually aligned with something they call human flourishing, and they're not helping people to fulfill their spiritual needs. So in that sense, they're positioning themselves as kind of an alternative to ChatGPT or something like that, something that aligns with Christian values. So maybe that is the way that they're trying to get AI to be more palatable for kind of an audience like this.
See, this is something that makes sense to me because it's something that we've seen with other types of alternative chatbots like Elon Musk's Grok, for example, reflecting his worldviews and politics. So could AI trained on Christian teachings reflect Christian values? Is that what we're seeing here?
Well, yes, but, you know, which Christian values are you talking about? This particular company is operating in quite conservative politically Christian circles, and so there are going to be particular points of view which would be contested in other places in the world, or even other places in the United States in other denominations. And so saying that, you know, they're building Christian values into AI as if Christian values are self-evident is actually a really difficult claim to make.
I'm also curious about the risk involved in, you know, creating an AI for good that can be used as a tool for AI for conversion, for instance. What's your thoughts on that, Rowan?
Well, I mean, Christianity is an evangelizing religion. It's seen as a good thing to do. So I wouldn't hesitate to say that actually, yes, like an AI that has been trained on a lot of Christian texts and theology probably would say the same thing because that's what it's been trained on. Whether or not that has a good outcome or a bad outcome, I guess, depends on your point of view about the goodness or not of Christianity in general.
You are listening to Download This Show on ABC Radio National, and I am joined today by Rowan Salmond, who is the producer of Soul Search and the editor of the Modern Relics newsletter, and Dr. Declan Humphreys, cybersecurity and ethics lecturer at the University of the Sunshine Coast and across the internet. thousands of people are logging onto chatbots claiming to channel divine wisdom. Some people say that it's comforting. Some people say it's digital blasphemy. Rowan, what kinds of AI God chat tools are out there?
So there's a whole slew of them. There are AI bots that are pretending to be Jesus. Some say that you are speaking to God directly. Others are more like repositories for theological questioning. So you can ask in a particular tradition or religion ethical question, and they might give you an answer because they've been trained on a particular set of data. And then there's apps that are kind of like prayer aids. So they will help you with your prayer life, that kind of thing. So there's all kinds of stuff out there.
And Declan, who's building these apps?
Some are from kind of serious organizations, Christian organizations. You know, we talked about Glue before, and there are other kind of evangelizing organizations who make these chatbots to kind of spread the Bible message. Sometimes it's just kind of bored uni kids who are in their room designing these kind of chatbots in their spare time. And we saw a lot of those come out when ChatGPT first kind of came about. People trying these things, you know, well, there hasn't been a Bible AI yet. There hasn't been a Torah AI. So let's just make those things. And a lot of them are kind of built on probably ChatGPT, but then trained with a lot more material to get them to talk in a certain, you know, religious way.
But why are people drawn to use these chatbots for prayer or guidance? Could it be a useful tool for people who feel they don't have a real-life person to turn to for this, Rowan?
Yeah, I think that I can see the appeal of these because they're very available. They're largely non-threatening. If you have an embarrassing question that you want a theological answer to, perhaps this is an appealing option so that you don't have to sit down with an authority figure and talk about sex or whatever. So, yeah, there's a whole lot of reasons. I mean, also, if you are somebody who is kind of curious about spirituality, but obviously there's been a very large breach of trust with institutionalized religions, maybe you don't want to dive in feet first in that, this might be an appealing option for you.
Yeah. Mm. So I can see how there's an opportunity for this to be a positive, respectful interaction for some of these chatbots. But I'm also questioning how respectful the kinds of AI personas could possibly be when they're claiming to speak as God or as Jesus or as some other spiritual figure. Surely there's backlash against that.
Yeah, I mean, in many traditions, this is literally a sin. It is idolatry.
Yes.
So, like, not a good idea to claim some sort of spiritual authority in this manner. There are big problems with this too, for sure.
Declan, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think a lot of times these bots are just kind of trained to talk in the style of something that's kind of biblical without it really, you know, being authoritative. You know, this is God or this is Jesus. I was thinking one the other day where it's Ask Jesus. It's this Twitch stream where there's this image of Jesus streaming 24/7 and he answers questions from chat. But a lot of the questions are like, the ones I was watching was like, how do magnets work? Or how does someone speed run Minecraft? Or explain something as like a sports commentator. So, you know, people aren't really taking this so seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think just the tone is that, you know, this Jesus figure responds, but responds in a way that just kind of embellishes and sounds a bit biblically without it really having much weight behind it.
Right. So while I'm sitting here pondering all of the ethical and theological issues that this raises, everyone else is thinking, Ray, don't take this so seriously.
I think maybe there are some aspects where there's a kind of novelty, I think. But yeah. I think there are, like as Rowan was just kind of talking to, there's this kind of void perhaps for some people for guidance. And we don't just see it with religion. We also see it with these tools being used as kind of de facto therapists. So people want to reach out to something that, and, you know, to be heard by something, whether that is through a religious or spiritual bent, whether it is through something like therapy. So there are use cases where people are getting back a response that perhaps makes them feel a bit better about themselves. So, you know, they're using it as a sounding board.
On that, though, you know, I'm thinking about the implications for privacy. You know, when you've got people using these chatbots as, you know, confessional booths, sometimes they end up going, you know, to a server somewhere in California. What should we be concerned about using these?
Well, the seal of confession in the Catholic tradition is there for a reason, and that does not apply to a chatbot that you might be confessing a crime to. This is subpoenaable.
Oh.
And it is totally possible for it to wind up in a court of law. So I would suggest not confessing things. Not only is it not a valid sacrament, it is highly inadvisable legally.
This is really interesting. And do these chatbots make it clear that this is the case? Or
no.
Is there a bit of misrepresentation going
on here? Yes. I have even heard of bots like this being installed in confessional booths in churches. And I don't know if they were churches in active use or if they were decommissioned, but deconsecrated. But yes, and this gives the false impression that you can confess things to this bot and that maybe it can give you absolution. It's just not the case. It's really, really inadvisable.
And have we seen any cases of people making confessions and it ended up going to court? Are we aware of anything like that happening yet?
I don't know if it's actually happened, but it certainly is possible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that is something that I did not even consider. This is why I'm glad we're having this conversation. So I'm curious, what's been the general response to this growing trend around AI spirituality? I think AI, you know, coming into the religious space is relatively new.
There is a fair amount of enthusiasm for it, I would say probably among the more spiritual but not religious sort of section of the community. As I said, among Christians, AI, apparently, they're quite skeptical about it, or they have been. Many Australian churches are sort of dabbling in AI for various use cases, you know, taking meeting minutes and like fairly pedestrian stuff. No one's using it to sort of replace clergy at this stage. Mm. The theology of that is really difficult. I mean, Christianity is an embodied incarnational religion. People have bodies and they have souls. And so replacing it with an algorithm or a computer program, just it's incompatible. It's the wrong kind of stuff to be doing that job. So it depends on what role the AI is playing within the life of a community.
Oof, lots to think about.
Yeah.
You are listening to Download This Show on ABC Radio National. Ray Johnston here with you, and I'm joined by Rowan Salmond, who is the producer of Soul Search and the editor of the Modern Relics newsletter, and also Dr. Declan Humphreys, cybersecurity and ethics lecturer at the University of the Sunshine Coast. And let me introduce you to Father Justin. Father Justin was an AI priest, meant to help answer theological questions, but ended up becoming the very first digital priest to be officially defrocked. Rowan, who created Father Justin? What was his original purpose?
So Father Justin is the invention of CatholicAnswers.com, which is a website designed to, you know, give Catholic answers to various, you know, questions. And Father Justin was meant to be able to facilitate that mission. And so you would type in your question and then he would search a bunch of training data. He was trained on a lot of Catholic theology, and then he would give you an answer. It just turned out that some of his answers were a little more creative than I think most Catholics would abide.
Declan, tell me how it came to be that Father Justin recommended Gatorade as a suitable liquid for a baptism.
Yeah, as Ron was saying, a lot of people kind of reported that it went a little bit off the rails, as we've seen with so many different chatbots. When you put it into a place where it's meant to give guidance or advice, someone ends up breaking it, and sometimes it ends up saying that you can use Gatorade to baptize children. I think it just talks to the kind of issues that are still plaguing generative AI, that it doesn't really discern that much between truth, you know, between two things that are liquid. It could be the Holy Sacrament or it could be Gatorade, and doesn't really know the difference between those. And, you know, it also has these kind of hallucinations, which we've talked about a lot, which haven't been solved yet. So every time they're put into these positions, it only seems to be a matter of time before they break and just do something really silly.
What was the reaction to the Gatorade incident, Rowan?
Outrage, I would say. Wall to wall, people were really, really scandalized by this. I mean, also just the idea that you could sort of pretend to ordain a computer, that in itself was actually a really problematic thing.
That's good to hear, yeah. That was the response, honestly.
Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't even just the Gatorade. I mean, we had Father Justin sort of endorsing marriage between siblings. It was really quite off the rails, I have to say.
That's incredible. And this is what happens, you know, like you said, Declan, when you train an artificial intelligence from information that is just sourced on the internet. So what does it tell us about the limits of using AI to be able to advise on religious rights?
So one of the main problems with Father Justin was that as part of his sort of framing prompt, it said that he was a priest. And so he acted as if he really was a priest. There are other programs that are similar to this. There's one called Magisterium AI, which has a similar function. It's supposed to give you Orthodox Catholic theology in response to queries. Because Magisterium is not framed as a person, it's not been anthropomorphized, it doesn't seem to have these same issues. I'm sure there are still ways that you can break it and make it say all kinds of crazy things. We're still talking about a large language model. But this is part of the problem with this program.
So being a person, what kind of free rein did that give Father Justin that the other programs didn't have?
Well, I think it gave him a kind of spiritual authority, actually, which is a strange thing to say about a computer. But it's also about the way that people approach the computer as much as it is the responses that the computer gives to people. So, like, this is actually a sort of a two-way relationship, I have to say. And it's something that maybe we don't think enough about when we talk about AI. And Father Justin's just a really good example of that.
Yeah. Declan, how can developers better safeguard against AI missteps in really sensitive contexts like this?
I think it's about that positioning thing as well. You know, are you positioning these tools as something that gives advice, or are you positioning these tools as just something that kind of looks up information? The thing with Father Justin was that you can't interact with it except for using your microphones, and you have to talk with it that way. I downloaded it the other day. Now it's just Justin, and he doesn't have the habit. He doesn't have the collar anymore. It's just Justin. But it's kind of a weird way to interact. So there's an image there, and you need to press your microphone, and you need to talk with it that way. So there's one thing about, you know, what do we want it to do? Do we want this to give guidance, or do we want it to just kind of be like an interactive encyclopedia where it can just look up information? But one of the things is that in the training is, how do you weigh these models? So there's a difference between kind of how helpful a model can be and how harmful it can be. So the more helpful it is, the greater the risk that it could be harmful, because it wants to help you, so it might give you really bad answers. But on the other end, if it's harmless, if it's too safe, it might not be that helpful, because it's just going to kind of reject a few things. So it really comes into this weighting of, how do you design the model so that it gives the answers you want but doesn't go kind of overboard?
You are listening to Download This Show on ABC Radio National. Ray Johnston here with you, and I'm joined by Rowan Salmond, who is the producer of Soul Search and editor of the Modern Relics newsletter, and also Dr. Declan Humphreys, cybersecurity and ethics lecturer at the University of the Sunshine Coast. And back in 2017, a Silicon Valley engineer launched The Way of the Future. It was a church devoted to worshipping AI as a divine being. Now, the idea of AI as a god might sound absurd, but it does point to a real cultural undercurrent, the belief that technology could one day become all-knowing, all-seeing, maybe even all-powerful. Declan, how did The Way of the Future begin?
It seemed to be created, well, it was created by this guy, Anthony Lewandowski, who was the ex-head of Google's self-driving car project. So he spearheaded that in the 2015-ish time. But then he was actually later charged with stealing trade secrets from Google and selling them to his new employer, which was Uber. But in that time, he came up with this, you know, this way of the future, kind of pseudo-religion, you might call it. And I think their quote was to develop and promote the realization of a Godhead based on artificial intelligence. Read into that whatever you mean, whatever
yeah,
you think.
Wow. Okay, so in practice, what did the way of the future actually teach? And did people take this seriously, Rowan?
The answer to your last question is it's really hard to tell because I think like a lot of things online, there's a certain level of like sincere irony about this.
Yeah.
You know, is it sincere? Is it ironic? The answer is yes. but basically the way of the future, it taught that AI would eventually become so powerful that it would effectively function as a god, like
right.
we were saying before.
Like what the tech bros are trying to achieve now with AGI.
Yes. And so I guess he was trying to get in on the ground floor of this and, you know, get on the good side of this deity, potential deity,
oh.
before it sort of became so all-powerful.
So this is like an amped-up version of saying thank you and please to your voice assistant in case one day they rule over you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
I mean, like, there's this idea of, like, Rocco's basilisk, where you might have general artificial intelligence that develops and is otherwise quite benevolent and good for humanity, but because it knows who tried to stop it forming in the first place, it will go out to, you know, seek these people out and eliminate them. And so, you know, maybe the way of the future was trying to sort of stop that from happening to them.
Look, seems like an inevitability, but why did the church close down?
So the church closed down essentially because what I said before, in that Lewandowski himself was charged with trade theft.
Oh, right.
Of stealing trade secrets from Google, from its self-driving car program. And then he was then employed by Uber and taking those secrets to Uber. So he pled guilty on one of those charges and was actually sentenced to 18 months prison. But then he was pardoned by Donald Trump at the end of Donald Trump's first term. And it seemed to me that that was kind of the shutdown of this religion at the time. He did come out and say that he donated a lot of that money to a legal charity, but that seemed to be at around that 2020, 21 time, the kind of end of this religion. The kind of push at the moment is just technology. It seems to be technology for technology's sake. How fast can we push this? How great can our gains be in this kind of technology without really thinking about kind of where the human values are, I think. So kind of keeping the human values. Humans are really good at balancing different ideas and perspectives and learning and growing, but AI doesn't really grow. It doesn't really learn.
And that's all we've got time for on this week's episode of Download This Show. A big thank you to my guests, Rowan Salmond. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And Dr. Declan Humphreys. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Now, I believe the two of you collaborated recently. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, we did. We made an episode of Soul Search together about different ways that we imagine the future.
Wonderful. And where can people listen to that?
On ABC Listen. If you search for Soul Search, Imagining the Future, it should pop up or in your search engine of choice.
Perfect. And that is also where you can find this episode and all future episodes of Download This Show. So make sure you give us a follow on the ABC Listen app, wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a rating, share it with your mates. I'm Ray Johnston, and this is Download This Show on ABC Radio National.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.